Hello, everybody. My name is Mathias Flatin. I'm a partner at Axileo Capital. I'm pleased to welcome you aboard this discussion about the VC ecosystem of PropTech and ConTech in Europe. And for that, I'm happy today to moderate a panel with four of my peers, four of the most active investors in Europe in PropTech and ConTech. Guys, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, so we have Marie-Sophie from Fondamental, US fund. Marie-Sophie is based in Germany.
Hi.
We have Arnie from Amavi, based in Belgium.
Hello.
Thibault from Realty, based in the UK.
Hello.
And Costa from PropTech One, based in Germany.
Hi guys.
So today we'll discuss about the maturity of VC investing in PropTech in Europe. So to put it in a different way, how hard is it today for PropTech and ConTech startups to find funding? Before we start, the context is pretty simple. The words PropTech and ConTech were not familiar at all in Europe 2 years ago. And most of the VCs were born and raised learning that corporate in real estate are too long-term and too conservative to adopt massively new technologies. So basically, investing in real estate startups wasn't even a question for venture capitalists. And startups hardly found funding to innovate and disrupt the industry. However, it happened in North America 3 years ago, and now it's happening in Europe. There are more than 3,200 ConTech and PropTech in Europe, according to PropTech Lab Belgium. Several VC funds dedicated to PropTech and ConTech were created in the past 18 months. And some North American players arrived on the European market, such as one of our panelists today, Marie-Sophie. So how mature is the VC ecosystem with the PropTech and ConTech thesis, and how hard is it today for these startups to find funding? So ladies first, we will start with Marie-Sophie. Marie-Sophie, can you introduce yourself and tell us why did you and your firm position yourselves on ConTech exactly?
Sure. So my name is Marie-Sophie. I'm working at Fundamental as an investment associate. Fundamental is the largest global construction tech VC, and we are solely focusing on construction, mining, and renovation. And that we do in the North American market, the European market, as well as Asia Pacific. And we do early stage. So I think, as all of us, we go from pre-seed until Series B. And why we decided to go for construction is very simple, I think. It's because construction is the largest undisrupted industry in the world. At the same time, it's one of the biggest industries in the world. If you look at construction, it's like it looks the same way as it has done 20 or 30 years ago. And in compared to all other industries where productivity and utilization has increased, actually there was a drop in productivity in construction. So there's like 23% less productivity in construction today than it was in 1990. And at the same time, we're seeing a much higher demand of buildings because of increasing population. And therefore, we said it's the right industry that needs to be disrupted today. And also in terms of global emissions, we think that construction, there needs to be digitization in construction, and there needs to be something done. And that's why we decided to go for construction and really focus in there, especially because we see it it's such an opaque space and very difficult to understand for people from outside the industry, that we wanted to position ourselves as really deconstruction insiders in that sense, to also help other funds and more generalist funds to really understand the construction industry and make investments and help the founders in the industry to really disrupt the world that we're living in.
Thanks. Good. And Costa from PropTech One Germany, how did you end up doing PropTech? You're muted. Costa.
Yep, sorry. No. Happens all the time. So I'm Costa, I'm with PropTech One. I'm one of the senior associates there. And we decided back in 2018 that especially in the German market, there was missing a vehicle that really helps companies to get the same traction as you would get in other industries. So we just saw there were a few startups that started in the PropTech and ConTech sector, but we just saw that a lot of founders would have a lot of problems in gaining traction just because the whole industry was so undigitized that even though you had a product that would really help people from the industry to get the work better done, as Marie just said, we haven't seen productivity and efficiency gains over the past, I don't know, 30, 50 years compared to other industries. So what we said, in order to gain traction for those guys, we don't need another fund with more money or another generalist with more money. We need a vehicle that really has the network of strategists. So meaning we combined all of the people who work somehow on the value chain of a building. So we have architects, we have asset managers, facility managers, anything that is in there somehow belongs to the value chain and helps us, and then in the end, the startups, to gain the traction they need in order to gain momentum they need in order to get money from generalists. So we see ourselves right now in this early stage. So we want to help early founders to gain first traction in order to reach a certain point where they can reach where they can get money also from generalists who then understand the business model and can invest not only into the team but also into the business model. So our fund today focuses on very early stages from seed to Series A, but we also would consider do even pre-seed tickets if we find the team and the product sounding enough.
Thanks. Arnie, about Amavi and your positioning, basically.
Yes, thank you. So I'm Arne, one of the co-founders of Amavi Capital. So we're a pan-European investor. We focus on, the most promising PropTech companies throughout Europe. But we have a little different approach in the sense that we are a co-founding team of three very different backgrounds. So we have real estate on the one hand, we have technology specialist, and also investment specialist. And myself, I come from the real estate industry, and I was involved in the setup of a property developer in Belgium about 10 years ago. So in 10 years' time, we grew to one of the largest property developers in Belgium and Luxembourg. And how do we do that? Just by embracing technology, embracing change, and by being just radically different. And I think that just proves that this is a very conventional space, as we all know. But by being different, by embracing change, embracing technologies, you can really make the difference. And this was what the one thing that proved to us that there was a need indeed for the specialist investors focused on PropTech or ConTech solely, but with a link to the industry indeed. And I heard this already two times here, but I think this is crucial to really accelerating this PropTech and ConTech space, is really making the bridge between the very, let's be honest, very conservative real estate and construction space on the one hand, and then the very rapidly growing PropTech space. And this is also what we want to do. We focus, though, on more of the consolidation strategy. So we focus on funding rounds from Series A onwards. So not really seed, and definitely not pre-seed, since we see this growing consolidation within the PropTech market. About, let's say, 4 to 5 years ago, there was a very early stage of PropTech. I think we're still very early, to be honest. But still, we see a consolidation trend popping up of PropTech companies gaining traction, getting a bit larger, getting cross-border activity, and offering not just a very small part of the solution and the value chain, but offering a broader product right now. And this is exactly the trend we want to accelerate.
Thanks, Arne. Thibault from Reality.
Hi, I'm Thibault Weston-Smith from Principal at Realty Corporation. Thanks for having me on this panel. Maybe to start and introduce the company, we do three different things. So PropTech is one of them, but actually the company was started doing advisory work, where we help our corporate and real estate clients manage the way they operate and manage their assets from a strategic standpoint. We deploy capital and we invest in real estate with a private equity mindset. And the third thing that is very recent and very nascent from last year, is our PropTech activity. We started our PropTech activity last year by partnering with PyLabs, that is one of the leading venture capital firms in PropTech in early stage in Europe, based in the UK. And from there, actually, we started thinking, well, we started with PyLabs, but actually there are plenty of great companies out there, and we can start deploying our own balance sheets to help them grow and mature in the context of European PropTech. What excites us about companies, and obviously our team is composed of real estate investment professionals. So our network and our understanding of real estate comes directly from the people we interact with, the LPs we help to deploy capital, the asset managers on the ground, or developers that we work with. So what we're very excited about is all these startups that have a meaningful impact in the way real estate as a business as a whole is being managed and improved in terms of efficiencies, both with the impact of technology, but also with the use of new type of experiences, new ways of thinking about real estate. So we started about a year ago on our balance sheet in PropTech, and as of this year, and I recently joined Realty Corporation about 2 months ago. We are very excited to keep on finding the right companies that we can help on their growth journey and the whole ecosystem as a whole.
Thanks. Coming back to Costa, so we understood from all of your various positioning that there are VCs if there are the deal flow, if there is the deal flow. So how mature is the deal flow in Europe according to you guys, and how qualified is it? What stage are we in terms of deal flow, European deal flow in ConTech and PropTech? Costa, if you want to start.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. So I would say if you would want to give the whole thing a name, I would still keep it as a seed stage, so we're still evolving. And I want to do, like, the reasoning comes from three main points. So we have, from the supply side, like seeing startups and founders, the quality and the number of foundations has risen over the past three, four years. So when we started in 2018, we barely saw a lot good founders in the scene. But then there's the other side, the demand. So we've seen over the past few years that this undigitized industry had massive impact on the founders and on the prop techs that started in this sector. So we've seen now a lot of push in the industry. For example, one is of course COVID, but then there are other things like regulations. So we've seen that ESG has been taken over worldwide, or on a European level, we have the Green New Deal that will also accelerate a lot of new startups in the prop and contact sector. And for example, on the German national level, we have the EEG, which is also accelerating a lot of startup foundings in the past and will also continue to do that in the future. And I guess some similar regulation have been and will be in place also in UK, France, or Belgium. I think the others might have something on that. And to finish my point is, I mean, we've seen a lot of startups, a lot of push from the market, but then we also see a lot of investors, new investors coming in. I mean, all of our funds have been founded in the past 3 years. And I guess there are a lot of other young accelerator programs or other startup ventures that also start right now, because there is so much going on right now. So we have a lot of regulations and startup founders coming in, making it more attractive to new investors.
The regulation trigger, indeed. Arne, about the qualified deal flow, what do you think about the deal flow in Europe that you find today versus one year ago?
Yeah, that's a good question indeed. We see a lot of interesting deal flow, but as a lot of people mentioned already here, it's still very early. So we still see very young companies, indeed in its pre-seed stage mainly, and still also very locally active. This is what we mainly see up to today. So still focused on their country alone, still focused on a very narrow product offering. And also what we also see is that it's often invented or founded from a product point of view. So they see a need in the market, they offer a product, but the product is often not tailored to the exact need in the market. And this is actually what we want to bridge, is translating the product that has been developed to the exact need in the industry. And I think that is necessary up to today. It's just as Costa just mentioned, I think indeed it's all been put in the pressure cooker by several factors like COVID, like ESG, and then again with a lot of money flowing into the industry, but I still believe we ain't seen nothing yet. We're just at the forefront here. If you look at the numbers, about just about 6% of total VC money just goes to PropTech alone. So it's just a very small portion, and I believe we will see a lot of acceleration in the years to come for sure.
Thibaut, your point of view about the deal flow here in Europe?
Yeah, so I agree with everything that was said, and we have and we see a great deal flow. And I think, I mean, on the point about local markets, real estate is a local market. You need to understand the dynamics in your market, the people, the culture, the way you operate. And this explains why, I mean, not only do we have companies that are early stage, are in maturation phasing and scaling up phasing, but also that they have to start with their own markets, and then the scaling up to cross borders is not as easy as it seems. So we see this, and we see a lot of local players who, they're the next growth. I mean, the next step for them in terms of maturity is being able to explode in other markets, and not necessarily going from one market directly to the US, as often we've seen is the case, not just in the PropTech field, by the way, but in any other tech place that you can see out there. I think when we look at, so we're also focused on the early stage, pre-seed, seed, C plus, Series A. I think what is interesting to think about as well as we talk about the maturation of the market and the industry in general, is how does this continued flow of money and growth is gonna continue growing in our PropTech VCC. So obviously, for all these companies that are at this early stage, talking about Series A, B, C, D, and then starting to talk about listing. Monitoring these trends is also helpful and always comparing it to what's happening in the US. We're not going to talk too much about SPACs today, but this is one of the trends that we're starting to see has been, raising a lot of capital in America. On the VC side, on the PropTech side, I think you mentioned this at Metis at the beginning, but Fifth Wall was the first PropTech VC that was four years ago that it happened. In Europe, it's very, very recent, happened in the past 1 to 2 years, basically, that started to see some very institutional players growing and raising more capital. But what will be interesting to see for all these early stage companies, and as they continue in their growth journey, is what is next for them in terms of growth, further capital raising, and getting to maturity.
Marie-Sophie, before we switch to the VC question, I think with Fundamental, which is based in Asia, US, and also Europe, you're the one who has the broader view of the worldwide deal flow. What do you think of the deal flow in Europe? How qualified, how mature is it? And to switch to the next question, what do you think about the funding? Is it easy for startups to find the sufficient funding for their projects?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me maybe start with the global view and the trends that we observe globally. So what we definitely see is that globally, construction is at an inflection point. So if you compare, for example, the total funding of also other industries that have been disrupted, if you look at mobility or logistics, it usually took them to get from 5 billion of accumulated funding to 10 billion of accumulated funding around 3 to 4 years. And then it took them another 3 years to get from the 10 billion to 50 billion funding. And with construction, we are right at the inflection point this year. Or it took also like 3 to 4 years to get to the 10 billion of accumulated funding. And also what we've seen in the last, especially in the last 1 and 2 years, is that the big generalists, so the Sequoia, the Coastlers of the world, they actually see or have high interest in construction and have done a lot of investments in that space. And on the other hand, you also see a lot of like former very successful founders, like ex-unicorn founders entering the space, like Welcome Homes in the US. And we see a similar trend also now in Europe. So within the last, especially within the last year, we see more and more activity in the European market, as well as more and more very strong teams from and within Europe. Also ex-unicorn founders that are now looking, coming from a complete different industry and now looking at construction. And there is definitely, they all see definitely construction as basically a huge opportunity. And therefore, we think that the basically Europe is at the very beginning, just as all other panelists mentioned, but we definitely see it on a positive trend.
So, and yeah, go ahead.
And in terms of the funding and how easy it is to get funding in Europe, so I think in prop tech, we see a lot of generalists also in Europe that are interested in the space and that have strong theses on the prop tech space. If you look at construction, it's still more of a global play. So I think aside from us, there are mostly big funds from Asia and the US, who the big generalists who really invest in construction. And in Europe, we see that the generalists are, most of the generalists are still in the process of really building out their theses. And we are talking to a lot of generalists and kind of also helping them building out those theses, because they do have interest in construction, but are yet at the very early stage.
One of you mentioned the hyper-local, the hyper-local positioning of companies in real estate. So the fragmentation of the strategies of the markets in Europe. If we come back to Thibault, and do you think there are some arbitrage to be done between the countries? How do you? What advice could you give to the startups and to get to a more international view and strategic positioning?
Yeah, I think this is like a great question that a lot of entrepreneurs ask themselves, right? Like we've built a product, we've been successful in our market, we understand our customers, what's next? And actually, it's helpful, I think, I mean, and I see this through the eyes of the investment standpoint, having these discussions with successful entrepreneurs, talking about their expansion plans. Europe, of course, is, I mean, neighboring countries should always be seen as the natural growth opportunity for companies we're talking about. Understanding, you know, we have a common heritage, we have laws that are different, similar on the concept. And so being able to look at it is what you know, all these entrepreneurs should be mindful of. Now, that said, every country doesn't, I mean, if you're successful in one market, doesn't mean you're going to be successful in the adjacent market. So understanding what barriers of entry, what the competitive landscape is, what the dynamics are on the real estate side, for your product to be successful, maybe adapt your strategy to what you know the realities of the industry are. And I think, by the way, when, I mean, we're talking about prop tech and contact, but all markets are different from a regulation standpoint, from the players that are involved, how municipalities can interact with you, what type of, I mean, all sorts of things, and taxes, of course. Are paramount to understand. So I think my advice to people is that you need to first think about the potential the market provides beyond anything. Understand what barriers of entry there are, before you start thinking about it. And then probably to some proof of concepts and POCs when you start proof of concepts, when you start thinking about, you know, expanding, try and get some understanding of, you know, how your product will and how the market will respond to what you're offering. And if there are good trends there, adapt and grow. But I think we have an exciting market, I think a big market. All the trends in Europe in general that nurture prop tech. We talked about sustainability, aging population, concern about health. I mean, all these things are top of mind and are solved for most of them with the digitalization or the use of new services. So I think we have a great and mature market, and people should focus on this while also being mindful of what opportunities out there are. And if it's outside of Europe, then that's the path to growth that they should follow.
Arne, what do you think about this fragmentation of the market? Do we have a European PropTech and ConTech, or do we have as many PropTech and ConTech as we have countries in Europe?
That's a good question. Coming from the real estate, I see, of course, it's a very fragmented real estate industry. It's very hard to scale throughout Europe as a real estate company. And we don't see a lot of pan-European real estate companies active throughout Europe, let's be honest. If you look at the PropTech market, of course, most of the technology we see is pretty scalable because the need in the one country resembles the need in another European country, most likely. Of course, there's local regulation, which might be a burden to get to that country. But what I do see is that most of the PropTech VCs out there with a strategic LP network, they do have a local LP network. I don't see a lot of companies, again, I don't see a lot of companies with a strategic investors base throughout Europe, since there aren't a lot of European companies active throughout Europe in real estate. So I think, just raising a suggestion here, but I think there is a market, though, for putting a network in place of combining these strategic real estate LPs. So combining strategic PropTech VCs as well. I'm not saying putting them all together, but more collaboration. And I feel this in this panel as well. A lot of PropTech VCs are open for collaboration with other PropTech VCs or with more generic VCs as well. I think this could be the real accelerator for the European PropTech market, to be honest.
It's true that all of this is pretty new, even all of us. Oh, can you hear me, Arne?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. All of this is pretty new for all of us. All of us, I think all our funds did not really actually exist 18 months ago. So, but we are experts. We are PropTech and ConTech-focused funds. What about the generalists? Because we can all agree that the generalist VCs have bigger funds than all of us. Are they ready to enter this industry like they position themselves on fintech or ad tech in the past? Will startups find bigger financing rounds later to do the Series B, Series C, Costa, you mentioned earlier? Costa, do you want to take this one?
Yes, of course. So I think you have to differentiate. I mean, if it's a product that is easy understandable and goes beyond a certain stage and you can just put money into it in order to accelerate, then it works fine also with generalists. But coming back to this interconnectivity of like current focused funds as we are, and I would also agree to the point that we all have our networks in local markets, and there is a need of us working maybe more together just to bring not only us as money together, but also like bring the guys who give us the money, so the strategists maybe behind us, to bring them together in order to work also together. Because we see a lot of startups, for example, that talk to us that try to build a product that is not only localized in their market. I mean, Germany is a very, very big market compared to the European other countries, but we have also like Eastern Europe, and we are always approached by Eastern European teams that say we need to go out of our local market just because it's too small. And this is why they start from very early stages to build a product that is not localized but internationalized. And I think this is the point where we, I mean, France also very big market, UK very big market, us big market, and of course Marie with the international focus also very, very big market. But I think we also have to think about all those other smaller countries that really need to go out very fast. So I think what is really needed is for B2B contact startups to find a way to work early on with companies or with partners that help them to gain information from different markets. And I think this is lagging behind. I mean, this, I might have answered a question you asked earlier, but I think this is also something I wanted to add to the discussion. Mm.
Marie-Sophie? Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I was just about to jump in here. What we see, so we usually invest alongside big generalists, and we see an overwhelming interest coming from the big generalists that want to be educated on construction and on prop tech. And we actually see or position ourselves also as being the source for them for construction and help them to get up to speed and to also evaluate the companies. Because we think the construction is definitely a rising tide, and a rising tide usually kind of floats all boats. So we don't see them really as a competitor also coming into the deal, but really as a complement of us coming in with the industry expertise and then, as you mentioned, coming in with the big pockets, with their big network and also their global network to actually provide also additional value to those companies that we as a very sector focus might not have, like synergies from other industries. And in that sense, I think it's also great to work together with those big generalists because there is this big interest from them in the construction of the project.
I think just to add on maybe to what you just said, that's where we have an interesting place, right? We're both with maybe more generous capital. We have the more the capital that understands and has the network, which is like what PropTech is about, right? It's building and scaling up through a network of partners, investors, asset managers, people on the ground, etc. I think what I also see from my discussions with companies and PropTech companies is this is also very valuable. We offer very valuable feedback to people who need to understand, have this knowledge from people who have worked in different markets, understand what real estate is about, and not just, it's not just a technology, right? It's a technology applied to real estate for most of it. So, and construction, of course, and understanding what the needs are in the construction sector. And obviously, through any disruption, everyone has a crystal ball about what the world will be in the future and what trends today will and how they will impact our industry in general. But I think that offers an interesting spot for PropTech VC in general to grow, which is like providing help, both connecting capital sources, either more generous or focused, with the entrepreneurs in the event.
Arnaud, do you want to add anything?
I think this is indeed a very valid point. I think we will need both indeed. We'll need the massive amounts of capital that has been deployed by the generalist VCs combined indeed with that strategic network and the strategic focus. And as Marie-Sophie said, I'm sure that especially Contech is a niche market that is popping up only recently. I don't think there are a lot of Contech-focused funds up to today. And to me, this is only a very recent trend from let's say 21 even, that you see this sub-sector of contact being looked at. But that's a sector or sub-sector for sure that cannot be addressed by generalist VCs alone. So this is for sure a network where you need smart money, because getting that industry, that construction industry going, really needs a push and really needs these inside connections. So I believe I can only agree that this goes hand in hand, the PropTech or contact focused funds together with the more generalist VCs with need deeper pockets, for sure. This is the way to go, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And we have a question from someone who is looking at us about the trend. Are there any new CVC corporate LPs entering the ecosystem? Do you have examples of the most active ones? So I don't think anyone will disclose about his strategy on LPs, but CVC, I agree. Do you see the CVCs around or around you on the deal flow, on the companies? What do you think about co-investing with a pure corporate? Maybe Marie-Sophie, if you want to answer.
We do see a couple of like corporate venture capital funds, but especially also globally, but not so many if you look at the size of the companies that actually, or the size of the construction of the big construction companies. In terms of like investing alongside this corporate venture, I think most of them are looking at a more later stage, so where there is an actual product that they can also probably in the future integrate into their own corporation. So therefore, in the very early stages, we don't see many corporate venture capitalists being involved. But what we do see is like also incubator programs. So I think one big one is Wancy, also in France, where more and more corporates are definitely gaining interest also to work more closely with startups in the construction world.
Yeah, that's indeed a valid point. We do see the same. It's either of both sides we see. So it's either in incubators for getting the feeling, getting the pulse of the sector on the one hand, or on the other hand, we see companies, incumbents, really jumping on the PropTech sector, but then it's more of a strategic add-on for the company itself. So we see both extremes. And I think the latter will definitely drive the PropTech sector, since this, of course, is an important exit channel for a lot of PropTech funds and, of course, for PropTech companies to really be added on as a strategic add-on into larger companies. And this will drive, again, this will drive the PropTech sector even further. So it's a healthy signal for sure.
I would also add this one, that in the past or in other sectors, maybe having a strategic partner early on your cap table might be a bad sign. But especially if you are in the, let's say, construction tech industry, where you really need some industry info, it might be more helpful than in other industries. So, I mean, we haven't done a co-investment with a strategic or a CVC, but we have a lot of strategic partners on our back end, and we know that this really helps. So I would say if we had like the opportunity to do like a CVC investment, we wouldn't say from the beginning, no, this might be some strategic unit in the future. This might be also an exit partner, but also like the entry point into more business. So I think it's a good fit in this industry.
Thibaut, any insights?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the typical approach, and this is obviously evolving over time, from a CVC has been kind of wait and see and at the same time, fear of missing out trend, where you want to be able to monitor the trends in the markets that will, and the winners, that will be the technologies and companies that you will need to use going forward to be more efficient. As part of your own operations. And so I think a lot of players in the industry have taken that approach of, you know, either deploying a lot of capital and starting to do that as an LP through dedicated PropTech VC funds or contact VC funds, or putting small strategic tickets in as a CVC in companies just to have a foot in the door and understanding what's going on. I think this sector will eventually mature, and we're starting to see it when companies start to have rather than just an innovation team, starting to have maybe a proper CVC team, growing the number of companies they're looking at, structuring it in more of a way of how the CVC functions. And I think, I mean, to agree with everything that was just said on this panel, but we need this. It's all an ecosystem, understanding. Because all these CVCs are, at the end of the day, customers and can not only be paying customers, which is helpful, for your company, but also you know, guide and provide feedback as to what the real needs are in terms of improving processes, etc., and how they can use it. This is mature for sure, and I think different markets have different players and different mindsets as to how they want to partner with startups. But we're seeing this growing for sure.
One thing I want to add to this, because I just saw that we actually have a co-investment with a CVC. It's not actually a CVC, but it used to be like the venture arm of Zygna Innovations. And today they're called Epic Ventures. And I think they're doing like a very excellent job on doing venture investments, because what they said is they allocated some money in a fund, and this entity really works as a sole entity, which is financially driven, but uses the strategic input of the Zygna group. So I think it doesn't need to be like this corporate CVC we've seen in the past, but more like if you structure the investment arm of your corporate company very well, the strategic input, especially in the con and prop tech sector, is invaluable. Sorry. That was it.
Okay.
I think maybe add on also what Gustavus just said, and maybe this is the next question. So sorry if I'm jumping ahead, but I think one of the trends we'll talk about is mergers in the industry, right, between players, and you know, having one champion in one country meet another champion in one country, and rather than seeing them one another as a competitor, they should join forces and have their team to you know, merge and basically effectively grow and attack new markets. I think when talking about CVCs, this is one of the roles also that they will be playing a lot, which is, you know, effectively for groups that are not just in their market, in other markets, seeing adoption with some of their projects, then growing into new markets where they see the need for using the same type of technology, and therefore increasing, you know, the use case and vice versa. You know, often in these large, I mean, I'm especially thinking about the construction sector, but it's also applicable for real estate owners. People tend to think about their own market dynamics and kind of innovation ideas, and therefore companies to be working with locally. And being able to share innovation across border is something that will be naturally also growing through the role of CVCs. And I think, of course, as we play a role in this, it will be also paramount that PropTech VCs find ways for you know, removing these barriers to entry into new markets, creating larger champions that rather than you know, having a lot of small companies competing with one another, we start creating more European champions that will be successful and can eventually be global champions as well.
Okay, we have 1 minute before we wrap it up. So anything to add, guys? We haven't talked about COVID, but we didn't want to talk about COVID. So if you have any insight you want to add, this is the last word. And if not, I want to thank you all for this first international panel. We try to bring all together European ConTech and PropTech at an actual European continental level. So it's a pleasure to share the stage with you. And hopefully we can co-invest together and with all the other peers of us in Europe and worldwide very soon. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. Very, very excited. And very excited.
Happy Easter.
To keep on sharing notes and finding deals to work on together and growing the PropTech scene in Europe and ConTech scene as well.
I agree. Thank you.
Bye bye. Thank you.
Same here.
Bye bye. Bye
bye, guys. Thank you.